We read together in God's Word as we turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14, and we read from the first verse. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down. He whose walk is upright fears the Lord, but he whose ways are devious despises him. A fool's talk brings a rod to his back, but the lips of the wise protect them. Where there are no oxen, the manger is empty, but from the strength of an ox comes an abundant harvest. A truthful witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. The mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easily to the discerning. Stay away from a foolish man, for you will not find knowledge in his lips. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. Fools mock at making amends for sin, but goodwill is found among the upright. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Even in laughter the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief. The faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good man rewarded for his. A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. There are few things more dangerous than a man who's driving on unfamiliar roads. He has no map, and he's totally convinced he knows where he's going. Note, of course, I say it's a man. That is deliberately chosen. Because, of course, though he may not know where he is, doesn't really know where he's going, he's too proud to ask for directions, and he's going to keep up the facade that he knows where he's going as long as possible. He's too sure of his own ability, too sure he can work it out. And if maps, of course, are old-fashioned these days, well, let's suppose that he has no mobile connection and he can't call up Google Maps either. And so he gets more and more lost while still trying to pretend he knows precisely where he is and he knows the road to where he's going. And the result, of course, is disaster. Well, at least it's discomfort, it's embarrassment, humiliation. Now, usually, to follow that sort of foolish course doesn't have too serious a result. But what if you are making the same kind of mistake about the whole direction of your life? Not simply where you're going driving a car, but if your whole life thinking of it as a journey, if you were going about it the same way, you don't really know where you are. You don't know where you're going, but you think you do. What would the possibilities be of ever arriving at the right destination? Well, you might say, well, that'll never happen. But the truth of it is, and the Bible tells us it very clearly, is that that's exactly the condition of every man and woman born into this world. By nature, they don't know where they are. They don't know where they're going. But a lot of the time, they're completely convinced they do. They think perhaps they're travelling on the right road, a road that maybe leads them closer and closer to God. The reality is so very different. Proverbs 14 And verse 12 tells us there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. I want to think about that verse this evening, to think about the deceptive way. Because that is what Proverbs 14:12 sets before us. It's a verse of warning. It is like a sign along life's road that demands attention. And if, as it were, we drive past it and ignore it, then we're warned the consequences will be fatal. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. You see first, as we look at this verse, the false impression. The false impression. There is a way that seems right to a man. And of course, it's a very common illustration to think of life as a journey. It's not just in the Bible. You find that right across history and cultures. Naturally enough, people think of life as a journey. You start off newly born, an infant, a child, a young person, and it is like a journey. And we are travelling through life. And so here, in Proverbs 14, and in many other places in Proverbs, and in the rest of Scripture, life is thought of as a journey. There's a way, it says, that seems right. And the writer, Solomon, we believe, is not just thinking of one particular path through life, but he's really thinking of all the ways of life that are lived purely in the light of human wisdom, leaving the God revealed in Scripture out of account. And all those paths are summed up as the way that seems right to a man. Because ultimately they are all the same. You leave the God of the Bible out of account, then all the pathways amount to the same thing. There's a way that seems right to a man. The path through life, whatever form it takes, whatever the detail, the path through life that leaves God and God's revelation in the Bible to one side. Sense that I don't need that. I can get on perfectly well without it. May show respect for it, but I'm actually seriously taking it to heart as a guide for life. And that's the way of human nature. That is what we are all naturally like. We're following a way that seems right to us. And yet we are, in reality, blundering along, as we'll see, in darkness, no idea where we are, where we're going. And the root of the problem, of course, goes right back to the very origins of the human race, right back to Eden. And we can't dismiss the opening chapters of Genesis as myth or legend or pictures or stories for the kids. It's given to us as sober history, the origins of our race, our own origins, the beginning of our family tree, if you like. And there you see the first man and woman opting for the way that seemed right to them. God had laid down a certain path for them. They had all the riches of Eden and one restriction, the tree they couldn't eat from. And rather than submitting to the Creator's will and recognizing this is the good path for us to follow, follow the Maker's instructions, they decided that they would be the judges of right and wrong, good and evil. They would decide what they did, didn't do, what they would eat and what they wouldn't eat. And there's the very root of what the Bible calls sin. It's putting self in the place of God. And wasn't that the devil's offer to them? You will be like God. And they bought the lie, with all the consequences for themselves and for all their descendants. Corrupted human nature. There are very roots. We are corrupted spiritually. We're twisted. And the path we think is good for us is the path, far from leading us near to God, the path that leads us away from God. But we've an utterly false impression of that root still. The sinner tells himself, this is the good way. This is what my wisdom tells me. This is the right path. And it is a false impression. It seems right in the sinner's eye. But the Bible tells us something different. And the reality is, Romans 3:23 underlines, is all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's God's verdict on all of us by nature. Let's not try and tell ourselves we're not as bad as this one or that one. Our sins are not like other people's. Doesn't matter what anybody else's sins may be. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. And with that twisted human nature that we have, convinced we're on the right road, we're travelling through life on the deceptive road. Oh, we may be very sincere, quite convinced that we're on the right road. But of course, people are sincere about many foolish things. Sincerity is of no value if you're wrong. Being sincere about the road you're travelling on, there's no use if it's the wrong road. It seems right. And we may be very convinced of the rightness of the road, and yet we're deceiving ourselves. It seems right to follow a path that leaves God out of account, that doesn't give to God the right place at the centre of life. It seems right to the sinner because we've said sin is putting yourself in God's place. You push God to one side. He's not relevant. We don't need him. The sinner wants, really, to be his own God. You see it in Eden, and you see it in the heart of every sinner, every one of us, by nature. We're deluded. We think it's the right way. We think it's wise. Maybe recommended by the thinkers and the philosophers of the day who are looked up to by society. But it is a delusion. And indeed, it's one of the fearful properties of sin, that often it does hide its true character. We're told by the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 11, that even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. The sinful path that we follow doesn't necessarily broadcast itself as being sinful. It makes it very attractive. It may seem a lot easier than the Christian path, but still a delusion. Often the way that seems right is not the way of open sin. It can be a very religious way. And that is why it is so dangerous and so subtle, why we need to be on our guard. Because the way that seems right to a sinner, for some, can be a way of outward respectability. Not flagrantly immoral, not publicly breaking God's law or society's rules. It may be a way that takes the sinner to church, even to read the Bible, with the goal of somehow earning God's favour and being right with God. You see, the way that seems right to the sinner can be a religious way and seem very devout. But it is a desire to save yourself. But the Bible tells us, Galatians 2:16, by observing the law, no one will be justified. You can never meet the standard of God because the standard is perfection. And so the way that seems right to a man, for some, may be a path of open immorality, public godlessness. For others, the way that seems right can be respectable and religious and church going. But it's still not a path that puts God really at the centre of life, that honours him and surrenders to him. And so it is another version of the deceptive way. We need to be on our guard. So easy, particularly, if we're raised in Christian homes, we're familiar with Christian things and mix with Christians, to start assuming that if I do the same things and I behave in the right way, I'll be all right. Without ever actually seriously having God at the centre of your heart and life. And so it's still the deceptive way. It still is giving a false impression. And all the more dangerous because it looks like the right road. And many are deceived. The false impression. But it leads us secondly to think of the fatal result. The fatal result. Solomon goes on to say, there's a way that seems right to a man, in the end it leads to death. Spiritually speaking, it's like driving over a cliff. We read recently of a man holiday in Israel, blithely drove past a sign written in Hebrew. Had he but known it, the sign was telling him he was heading for a harbour. And I think he didn't stop in time. But spiritually, people are doing that all the time. They ignore the sign that God has placed. It's not in Hebrew, it's in English. And the result is only going to be of one kind. It leads to death. And if we go back to Genesis, back to the roots, we're told that Adam and Eve were warned, the day you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. And the truth of the matter is, that's exactly what happened to them and to all of their descendants. Spiritually, they died at once. They were separated from God. They were hiding from Him. And they'd lost fellowship with their Creator. They are, as Paul puts it in Ephesians 2:1, dead in transgressions and sins. So they died the moment they put themselves in God's place. The moment they started down the way that seemed right to them, they did die. Spiritually, they were dead. Sinners, even as they go about in the world, as you fit them healthy and active, and perhaps prospering and doing well, in truth, they're dead. Dead spiritually. Separated from God, they have no fellowship with God, because that's what life really is about. Life worth living is life in fellowship with God. If you don't have that, you're dead. The wages of sin is death, we're told in Romans 6:23. And the wages are paid. And so we're dead spiritually because of our sin. And yes, the body too will follow. See that with regard Adam and Eve. You are dust. To dust you'll return. And it's true of every human being ever since. Jesus Christ, exception. We return to the dust. The body shares in death. It's the consequence of sin. And unless God intervenes powerfully and miraculously, all this is going to end in only one place. In eternal death. That our place will be fixed forever, separated from God, spiritually dead, under His righteous judgment. Now, we're in a day that doesn't like to think too much about God's judgment. I read recently of how a particular hymn in one hymn book in America is going to be revised to tone down talk of the wrath of God and the need for a substitute. People are uncomfortable with such things. And yet the Bible quite frankly and openly tells us that to go on in this way that seems right to us is leading to eternal death. What's described in Revelation 20 as the lake of fire, the second death. First death is the death of the body, return to the dust. The second death, eternal death. And that's the inevitable outcome of a life lived without God. And we need to hear that, and sinners need to be told this, that the inevitable outcome of a life lived without God will be eternity without God. In a real sense, you see, the sinner gets what he chooses. People get what they want. If you want a life without God, you may very well get that. Life that will never end and will be without God. That's how the Bible describes where sinners are going. If you live without God, you'll spend eternity without God. To follow this path is utterly foolish. And yet so often, sinners convinced it's the right way will argue with you endlessly. They're on the right path, and yet deceiving themselves. As Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, put it, he said, self-deceivers will prove in the end self-destroyers. And that's the reality of following this path that seems right, but that leaves God out of account. If you live without him, you'll die without him. And you'll spend eternity without him. And we mustn't have any naive ideas that somehow after death there'll be another opportunity. Somehow the sinner will be able to change his mind when he's passed through death and realises what he's done. And somehow he'll get another opportunity. You know, there are those who believe that and teach that. Another opportunity to believe after death. It's a nice idea. Quite comforting. Except the Bible not for one second holds out any such hope. Death draws the line. That's why it's so fearful. We thought about this recently. Because it is a final line. And as you enter the grave, so you will spend eternity. There'll be no second chance on the other side of death. And yet how ironical it is, as we watch sinners and listen to them, we talk to them, they're dead. They're spiritually dead, without hope and without God in the world. And yet they fondly believe they're alive. And often they look down on Christians and think we're idiots for believing the things we believe. And they're going on down the road that's taking them further and further from God. Utterly convinced they're on the right road. They're a bit like the church in Sardis in Revelation 3. It says of them, "You have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead." And that's how people think of themselves. We can hardly imagine the shock that it will be for the sinner to pass from this life, convinced of the rightness of the road they've been travelling, and suddenly to discover the reality of it. They've been complacent in their own wisdom, sure that they were on the right road, suddenly to discover it was utterly wrong. That will be a terrible shock, but too late. So there is a false impression that sinners have of the road they're travelling. And they're sure it's right. It looks right to them. Their fallen minds, their ungodly wisdom. But it will have a fatal result. It is leading to death. Already they're spiritually dead. And ahead is eternal death. Unless something miraculous happens. We praise God we don't stop at that point this evening. Because we want to think, thirdly, of the faith road. The faith road. Yes, there is a way that seems right and that's leading to death. There is a wrong road. But praise God, there is also a right road. And we mustn't stop this evening before we think of that right road. The road that's spoken of in Proverbs in many places and all through the Scriptures. Not the road that's lived by human wisdom and setting God aside. No, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, the world through its wisdom didn't know God. So it's not human wisdom that is the answer. The right road is a way that has been revealed by God Himself. Not that we searched and found it, but God has revealed it. And He is a God who reveals Himself and who comes to us and shows us the right path. And He has shown us how we ought to be living. Psalm 119, verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your decrees. There's the right road. The road of obedience to God's law. Keeping His commandments. But when we try to travel that road by ourselves, we very quickly find we're not able to do it. Have you tried in your own strength, by your own ability, to keep God's commandments, to be moral and upright, and to do it by yourself? You know very quickly, you discover you can't do it. It's too difficult. Old sins drag you away from it. You don't have the strength, you don't have the will to walk the way of God's decrees. What are we to do? Surely it's a recipe for despair. There's no hope for us. The right way is a way that's too difficult for us. We can't manage it ourselves. It's impossible to walk the right way in our own strength. But yet there is a way in which we can walk the right road. Our sins need to be dealt with. They need to be forgiven. We need to have help and strength to be able to travel the right road, the road of obedience to God's commandments. And God has supplied the answer. The answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We have it there in John 14:6. I am the way. There is the right path. Through Christ, who died and rose for sinners like us, here's one who's provided salvation for every sinner who'll ever trust in Him. When Jesus died, it was not some random tragedy, some accident. It was the plan and purpose of God. Because in His death, He's taken the burden of the sin and the guilt and the punishment of every sinner who'll ever trust in Him. He's paid the price of salvation. Burden is lifted off the sinner, laid on Christ. As Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:24, He Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree. There's the solution. There's the answer to the sin that leads us down the wrong road. The sin that renders us incapable of walking along the right road. It's in Jesus. He died and rose for sinners like us. He paid the price of salvation. And every sinner who trusts in Him receives forgiveness. Salvation, eternal life, all the rich blessings that the Bible describes are transformed. And with God's help, the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells us, is that amazing? The power of the Spirit who indwells us, we are able to travel the right road. A new way of life. not live by our own wisdom, but live by God's wisdom and God's law, according to His directions. He gives us the map, if you like. That we're not stumbling around in darkness and confusion, no idea where we are, where we're going. He's given us the map. And He enables us to read it and to follow it. Ah, oh, now you know, sometimes we decide we'll not follow it. And you know too what happens when we do that. We drift. We get confused. We fall into sin. We're in Christ. We know Him. We love Him. We've got the map of the right road. And with God's grace we can travel it. The road that leads us not to death, to life. The answer is in Jesus, who says in John 10, verse 10, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. There is a way that seems right to sinners, that's leading to death. But there is a right road through faith in Christ, the way of forgiveness, the way of salvation. The way that leads to life. And we walk that road as we take God's map. And we follow it day by day. Put it into practice. And it shapes us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Live life as God made us to live it. That's what God gives us in salvation. Life as we were created to live it. According to the Creator's pattern and will. That's life. And the road through Christ leads us to life in all its fullness. One road leads to eternal death and separation and judgment. This road leads to life and joy. The worship and service of God forevermore. A road of lasting satisfaction. And you know, the sinner is hungry and searching. Hungry for reality, for truth, for satisfaction, for peace. Looking for these things in all the wrong places. And refusing to seek them in the one place. In the one person where they're to be found, in Jesus. But if you know Christ tonight, you know something of the satisfaction and the joy of travelling on the right road. The faith road. Trusting in the Saviour. Following the map God has given us. There is a peace and a satisfaction. Despite the trials, despite the hardships that come to us, there's a peace and a satisfaction you find nowhere else. Maybe some of you have travelled the wrong road for many years before God brought you onto the right road, and you know something of the emptiness and the futility of travelling the wrong road. It's very popular in our pluralist culture, of course, to say there are all sorts of right roads. All the roads take you up the same mountain, and what a surprise when we all reach the top with God. Proverbs 14:12 tells us something very different. There's one right road. Faith in Christ and obedience to God's commandments. The other roads seem right, seem attractive to many people. They seem better than the Christian road. In the end, they lead to death and separation from God. The way of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to be travelling. The only way that will bring us to God for eternity. To love, to worship, and to serve Him. I wonder what road you're travelling tonight. I can't read your heart, but God can. Are you travelling along the road that seems right to you? Maybe a very respectable road, a church-going road. But it hasn't the Lord at the centre. You're living for yourself. Proverbs tells us in the end it's leading to death. Make sure you're travelling the right road through faith in Christ. Path of obedience to God's map, God's commandments. A path that leads to glory with all his people in his presence forever.